Our Lord in today's gospel is warning us all not to be deceived by the leaven of the Pharisees and scribes, that our righteousness must exceed theirs. For the Pharisees and the scribes taught what the revelation was to say, but they did not live it. And so our Lord is telling them in today's gospel that it is not simply knowing what God has revealed and what was to come, but it was in living that, and most particularly, that in our personal lives we are responsible for our sins. This is most important in today's day and age, for we are learning, as the modern secular movement would have us try to believe, that there are no such things as personal sins. There are only social sins, and so we try to organize each sinful group into a group by which they can happily go about exercising that sin. We try to defend the practice of the sodomite. We try to defend the practice of those who do not remain faithful in marriage. We even try to defend those who are involved in usury by organizing them into groups by which they can exercise their vice and their sin. Of course, our Lord tells us that when the Pharisees and scribes did the same thing, they were going to be subject to the fires of Gehenna. And so those words are true for us all. And in today's first reading, we learned that all that was told in the Old Testament was under a veil. It was to be veiled until the time of Revelation, and the veil was removed from all humanity when our Lord came into the world as the Son of God in the flesh to reveal to us all that was to come. And so, most particularly in this day and age, when the veil has been removed, because Christ truly dwells amongst us, and he will dwell amongst us until the end of time, through Holy Mother Church, and most particularly through the Blessed Sacrament, he will dwell with us until the end of time, constantly seeking to remove the veil of sin, and calling us to personal responsibility. As we learn from the Gospels elsewhere, that the Pharisees and the scribes justified abandoning the care of their mother and father by declaring all their possessions to be corban, that is, set aside for God alone, and so they had no responsibilities towards their parents. If they did not repent of such a crime, then we know full well what their destination would be. They would be subject, as our Lord promises, to the fires of Gehenna. And towards the end of today's Gospel, our Lord gives a very succinct teaching on purgatory, for he tells us even our minor faults and failings we must make reparation for, and if we do not do so in this life, then we are handed over to the judge, and as the end of the gospel tells us, we will not be released until we have paid the last penny. And so we have clearly here a reference to the doctrine of purgatory, a doctrine again denied by most of even Christianity, save for the Catholic Church. But when we reflect upon the nature of purgatory, we reflect upon the mercy of God, for we know that no one can enter heaven contrary to what Luther and the Protestant Revolution declared, that as one Protestant theologian put it, even in heaven God allows himself to be deceived as to our true nature. And so we see very clearly there is no true belief that the grace of Jesus Christ can transform the soul, raise it above its sinful self, and transform it truly into adopted sons of God. Of course, we know full well that God could not possibly be deceived as to our true nature. We are either elevated by grace and capable of the beatific vision, or we have lived a life of sin and we will be condemned to hell for all eternity. And so let us strive each and every moment of our day to overcome the faults and failings that our Lord refers to in today's gospel, knowing that we cannot, as it were, allow or ever allow contempt for one another to enter into our hearts. Our Lord speaks of many levels of sin, many struggles that we constantly have, the constant disagreements, the constant squabbles that each and every human being undergoes, perhaps several times a day. But even despite this, even the struggles to try to come to love one another, we cannot have contempt for each other. We cannot make that final judgment as to the state of one soul, but we must strive each and every moment of our lives to overcome our own faults and failings, our own vices, and to help each other overcome their faults, their failings, and their vices. And insofar as we do this, we conform belong to the grace of God. Insofar as we do this, we have humbled ourselves and recognize that no good can come about in our own lives and in our own souls unless that good is given to us by Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so we must show the world that this movement towards secularism, in which we are ultimately declaring that Christ has no place over the human soul, Christ has no place over the human heart, simply because Christ cannot be God, because as the secular movement very clearly declares, there can be no such thing as God, or rather something more dangerous. They will declare that God ultimately is man recognizing his divinity. And so we have a most pernicious error, the deification of mankind, not as it were mankind worshiping the God who became man for their sake. And so let us try each and every moment of our day, each and every moment of our lives, to show the world what the power of God's grace truly can do in our lives, that we are elevated above the squabbles of the ordinary lot of mankind. We are elevated above the machinations of the secular movement, because we have truly seen, or truly had the veil removed from our eyes, so that we truly, most especially in the Holy Eucharist, see Jesus Christ veiled under the appearance of bread and wine, but truly the same Savior who taught the apostles, the same Savior who took the Pharisees and scribes to task, and the same Savior who tries to teach each and every human person, and the same Savior who takes each and every human person to task when we indulge in sinful practice. Not because he wishes to condemn us, but he wishes, as he clearly declared, to bring us to our senses, so that coming to our senses, we may come to know him truly and thoroughly, and most especially we may come to know him in his presence among us until the end of time, constantly turning to him in his Eucharistic presence for our strength and for our hope and for the strength and hope of the whole world. And so let us, as we proceed with this holy sacrifice of the Mass, truly beseech the Lord and Savior that he may bring his saving mercy, his saving grace to each and every soul that dwells in the world this moment, each and every soul that will come to dwell in the world this day and will dwell in this world until the end of time, so that at the end of time, all humanity may be truly brought to that home in which God has prepared for them, that home alone in which they can find the happiness they seek, that is, their eternal union with God together for all eternity in heaven. And so let us, as we strive to do this, praise each and every doctrine of Holy Mother Church, even the doctrine of purgatory, but let us pray always that we do not have to spend any time there. Let us strive to enter into the realms of heaven so that we do not have to suffer the fires of purgatory. Let us spend our life in prayer and reparation for the poor souls, the church suffering in purgatory at this present moment, so that they may be released from their prison and have that hope fulfilled that they now have, that hope alone that keeps the fires of purgatory from not being the fires of hell. The only difference, the doctors and fathers tell us, between the suffering of purgatory, despite the modernist attempt to tell us that purgatory is some type of delightful hearth, like the winter country home in which the fire is burning brightly and chestnuts roasting on the fire. That is not the doctrine of purgatory. Purgatory's fires burn with the intensity of hell, with one difference. There is hope, that a hope that will ultimately be fulfilled, that the soul will be purified in those fires and ultimately be united with the Lord and Savior. And so let us spend our lives for our poor brothers and sisters in purgatory, that they may be released from that prison and come to praise our good God as the saints and the angels do now, and as we all have the hope to do. And we know that hope will be, that hope can alone be fulfilled if we put our complete trust and confidence in the power of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ crucified. It is then and only then that the veil of sin is removed from mankind's eyes, and that he takes up the banner of suffering and penance, and ultimately attains that goal which alone can bring him his happiness, union with his Savior for all eternity in heaven.